We will now reconvene the board meeting for our public hearing. The Board of Regents is required by the Texas Education Code to hold a public hearing on proposed increases in designated tuition. Of course, the purpose of this public hearing is to comply with this requirement and to provide a brief overview of the proposed tuition and fee recommendations to be effective with the fall 2014-2015 semesters. Dr. Watson, would you please come forward at this time and provide an overview?
Mr. Chairman, before we begin,
yes, ma'am.
I welcome Dr. Hussey as the interim president. Our first meeting.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the front row.
And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to get to talk about this today. So I know we're moving very quickly. I want to remind you that there are some things that escalate in our cost of offering high-quality education to students every year. I want to give three quick examples. In the last 4 years, to keep the library level so they don't have to reduce the number of subscriptions that they have, most of which are electronic, we have had to come up with $3.5 million more dollars in the last 4 years. In addition, to keep up with the expanded use of Wi-Fi, not the expansion of students, but just how much individuals use Wi-Fi more than they have in the last 4 years, we've had to come up with $2 million more dollars. And one other quick example, and there are numerous examples like this, the escalating cost of Hazelwood, which we are for, but the escalating cost to us over the last 4 years has been an additional $9.4 million. And we expect next year that escalation will be somewhere, again, a one-year escalation of between $3 and $5 million. So we would all like to see costs going a different, to the students going a different direction, but the problem is that to run the university, ours and all the rest of the universities in the system, there continue to be escalating costs that we have to meet. Having said that, I want to tell you that we have a proposal before you. We did have a public hearing that we advertised to the students by email, by information on radio and TV channels, by the battalion having an advertising and stuff like that. We also have a numerous number of student committees that we of committees that students have a large participation on, and directed them to go back to their student groups and talk to them. And so we had the hearing on December 4th, but we left open for, and we realized it was during the holidays and stuff, but we left it open until last week for them to provide us any input. We got some questions and some inputs, and of course we have some students that would prefer to see no increases whatsoever. But the vast majority of students asked very reasonable questions, inquired of us what we were doing and why we were doing it, and indicated a great deal of support for the reasonableness of what we're asking to do. So what are we asking for? I'm going to give you three parts of Texas A&M University. I'm going to give it to you in three parts because their financing comes in different parts. That is Texas A&M University, College Station that you traditionally think of. That is Texas A&M University, Galveston, and that is the Texas A&M University Health Science Center. So, and I have people to back me up if you have questions. For Texas A&M University, College Station, we have three things. One small thing is the law school. When we asked your permission, as we acquired the law school last summer, for how we would charge those students and get the appropriate authority, we didn't have some data we needed, and we're now asking for a slight modification to that plan so we can appropriately charge the law students when they take many semesters. So it's not an increase, it's just an appropriate, we have to get your authorization to bill those students in the right way. The other big thing that we're asking you to is to let us consolidate the course fees either in a tuition or for the graduate students in a program fee. In order to address the audit's recommendation of how to make this a more effective and efficient process, to simplify how we do this management and the building and provide flexibility that will allow the management to leverage like to make this adaptation in the course fee consolidation so that we can roll it into our approach for the four-year guaranteed right. And then the small final benefit is the way we are asking to have it done in much detail in your book would make it so that the students get a slight break in the summer if they thought that that would help them graduate on time. And so we just put that slight incentive in there for the summer. In other words, they'd have lower fees to pay in the summer if they took advantage of that. The other major issue we're coming for the College Station is the approach for guaranteeing students that when they start school, they will know what it's going to cost them for the full education. In that guarantee, we can't include things like if they opt for study abroad or they opt for an athletic pass or something like that. This does not cover books or anything like that, but it is all of our tuition and mandatory fees so we can give them the best estimate possible on what it's going to cost them for their time. I would point out a few things. Because we have different differential tuitions by colleges, because of how we're converting the course fees, the guarantee we will give is different for different colleges. I would also point out it's different for in-state versus out-of-state students. And finally, I would point out to you that for a few majors whose hours are beyond 120, we would be guaranteeing them 4.5 years instead of 4 years, because that's what we thought fairer, because the hours required in their programs to do that. And by the way, we have one major that requires 143 hours, and so we are guaranteeing them a 5-year rate. All of these are for undergraduate programs, the 4-year or the 4.5 or the 5-year guarantee. And I just want to say, and you have much documentation, what we've strived to do is work with the system on what would be a good approach here. We have used an average CPI index as a way to position why are we even asking for this. There's much talk about doing a 4-year compounded at the average CPI index and then averaging that so the students will be told you pay this much each year, each semester for 4 years, and that's it. But then as we roll it in, what we've done is made sure that we tried to make it less of a big impact in phasing this in. So we only consider 3 years of inflation in our particular approach. What that means is the seniors will be guaranteed a rate for one more year, and because of the guaranteed tuition, they're seeing a 0% increase. Now, I'm not saying they're seeing no increase. Because of the course fee consolidation, there is a little increase there, but they're seeing 0% because of the guaranteed. Juniors are seeing a 1%, sophomores a 2.25%, and freshmen are seeing a 3.3% because of this guaranteed tuition model that we are proposing to roll in. I could go on about that, but I'd like to save time for your questions and do a little bit more so that I can talk to you about what Galveston and Health Science Center, which are part of Texas A&M, are asking for as well. Let me say that Texas A&M University Galveston is asking to consolidate their course fees like we are for all the same reasons. Texas A&M Galveston is asking for a campus differential tuition, which they will report on how they used it to enhance specific things that they need to move Galveston forward. And they're also asking to consolidate most of their mandatory fees, which is something the main campus did last year, if you may recall, and they're asking for permission to do that. And then they are following the exact same model, including giving up one of the 4 years of inflation for providing their students a guaranteed 4-year cost for education. And then with the Health Science Center, they are asking for a differential tuition increase for the College of Dentistry. I think it's a very important thing to note that our College of Dentistry is the least expensive College of Dentistry, I'm pretty sure, in the universe, but certainly not just in Texas, but in the nation. Even with, and they are asking for an increase in differential tuition of $1,000 a year, even with that increase, and if no other College of Dentistry has any increase this year, which we doubt is going to happen, they would still be fifth from the bottom in terms of lowest cost College of Dentistry's, and I will remind you, their success rate is extremely good, and we want to keep it that way. So they really need this money to keep providing what they have to provide. We have a new Master of Science program in nursing. They have other programs that they are charging a differential tuition. Because this is new, we need to come to you and ask if we can also charge that differential tuition for that. They will do like all the other programs that have differential tuition and report to you on this is how they said they were going to use it and this is how they used it. That is $50 per semester credit hour for that program. Let me just take a second to point out these are small programs. So if you allow this, it's going to generate $13,000 for the program, and you may say, why are we messing with it? But it's very important to the program that they have those resources to do some key things. And then finally, I want to point out that the House Bill 29 requirement for undergraduates to have a guaranteed tuition rate is a little more complicated for the Health Science Center because they have undergraduate professional programs that aren't necessarily four-year programs. So what you will see in there is they have provided a way to guarantee the students once they are admitted into those professional programs, which is usually at the junior year, one of them at the senior year, if you will, that they will guarantee a cost of the program to finish. And so it's not exactly the same thing, but it's the spirit of the same thing. And that's what we are proposing.
Dr. Watson, thank you. I can't overstate how important it is to all of us, this process and this effort to bring some semblance of, bring simplicity and transparency to this fee situation that we've wrestled with for years. So I know that was an important part of this. Thank you, and I know you've had a lot of help, and I think about Maria and Philip and Joe and James and the folks that have helped from the Chancellor's office. There are some questions.
And I want to BJ and her crew.
Yeah, okay.
And Joe Pettibon and them as well.
Yeah, thank you, BJ and Joe. But it's just critically important that we get. That we get some simplification and bring more transparency to this, and we've just got to keep being efficient and accountable and as productive as possible and try to hold costs down.
Mr. Yes, Chairman, sir. I want to thank you also for changing the design of how we do this, having Texas A&M, College Station, and Galveston, and Health Science Center now, the other universities later. It's a lot easier to manage for all of us to understand, and I can tell you from last year's discussion when we had to delay the vote because of the discussion of 5% cut, there was a lot of people over here that almost passed out. We had to call 911 on some of these CEOs, and so I think it's fair for all the other universities to do this also, so thank you.
Well, thank you and the members of the board because you demanded this, and thank you. Are there other questions or comments?
I have a question, Karen.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Watson. 365 is the number I had. Is that the blended?
Yes, sir. That's the overall campus average, and so that's okay. When you take the seniors, the juniors, the sophomores, okay. And the freshmen. Yes, sir.
Just wanted to point that out.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Dr. Watson, thank you very much. We have three requests for oral testimony today, and we've received over 2,300 letters of written testimony. We have with us today from three Texas A&M students who I believe are in the audience today. Yes, okay. We would like for each of you to come forward. We have with us today Carrie Cheshire. You want to come first, Carrie?
Yes, sir, I'll go ahead.
Carrie is our Student Senate Finance Chair. Glad to have you with us today,
thank
Carrie.
You.
Thank you.
As the chairman pointed out, my name is Carrie Cheshire. I'm a student senator, I'm the finance chair, and I am a senior political science major from Mont Belvieu, Texas. I want to begin by thanking the members of the board for this period of testimony, and I'd like to also personally thank Regent Busby for the erection of the billboard asking for the Texans to draft Johnny Manziel. As a longtime Texans fan, I think we're in desperate need of a quarterback, and I think Johnny Manziel is just the right guy for the job. But on a more serious note, I want to talk a little bit about what led me to Texas A&M. I'm a third-generation Aggie, and I was raised in a family of Aggies, and attending this university was something that was always very important to me. You could say that I was heavily intoxicated on the maroon Kool-Aid by the time I was about 6 years old, and I was attending Bonfire and Muster and other things with my family. In my high school career, I did rather well and was afforded multiple scholarships and full rides to other institutions. As the oldest child of a five-kid family, my parents, even though they attended Texas A&M, pressured me to attend those other institutions because they thought it would be easier for me, given that I wouldn't have to take out any student loans or anything like that. As I'm sure a lot of you would know and agree with, Texas A&M is very special, and I decided that it would be worth it for me to attend that institution anyway, even though it would be a lot more hard, given that I would have to work substantially. I'd have to take out a number of loans and everything in order to complete that. What you have before you today is a tuition increase that would make it harder for kids like me, whose parents make just enough that the state of Texas and the federal government tell you that you don't need any aid. But I can tell you, when I first filled out that FAFSA with my parents, the first reaction out of my mom was, I wish we had that kind of money. And what's happening at Texas A&M is we're experiencing a demographic shift. We're getting more and more students who are more economically disadvantaged, and we're getting more and more students who are fairly well off. And these tuition increases don't really affect either of those groups, as one of them has them satisfied with need-based aid and scholarships, and the other of which is wealthy enough that it doesn't really affect them. But it does really affect the middle class, which is shrinking more and more every year. Another thing that I'd like to talk about is the way that this increase is being proposed. Although I'm not a fan of the university advancement fee, if we were to consolidate fees that way rather than in tuition, we wouldn't have to give 20% in tuition set-asides. Under state law, those tuition set-asides are eligible to be taken out of by every other student in the state of Texas, which means Texas A&M students in College Station would be subsidizing, in effect, the education at Baylor, TCU, SMU, TU, and other schools through the Beyond Time Loan Program and through the tuition set-asides. So if we were going to make this increase, I would request that it be done through the university advancement fee so that at least those funds raised would stay in Texas A&M College Station. Another thing I'd like to say is the process by which this fee was notified to students was rather rushed and rather contrived. I attended the meeting on December 4th in the middle of dead week, right before finals, and I can tell you that there were only six students in attendance. You have three before you today, 150 miles away. I just think that's a really important thing to note, and I see that I've expired my time, but I'll stand for any questions if you have them.
I appreciate all of your comments. The last one, please know we didn't call this meeting in Galveston because we knew we were going to be taking this up. I made the decision in the fall that we were going to have, we try to have one meeting at an away from the A&M campus every year, and I had a regent named Busby that was helping me that had Galveston in my mind. So we of course, you know, we didn't plan the meeting somewhere else because we knew we were going to be dealing with this issue. But your point is well taken, and we're sorry that you had this 150 mile drive, but we very much appreciate you being here. And we heard what you said.
Mr. Cheshire.
Thank you.
I understand you're the finance chair of the Student Senate. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
I'm the finance chair of the Board of Regents. I'd like to trade places with you. I'm Charles Swartz. I want to thank you for your thoughtful comments. I have spoken to board members over my service on this board, and we are very, very aware of the pressures or the vice of tuition increases and their effect on those who are actually called upon to pay it, or your thoughts are very helpful. I am very, very solicitous of solutions as to how to fund this great enterprise that we have, and I sincerely appreciate your coming here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask a few words, a few questions. First of all, I, too, appreciate your presentation, driving all the way down here, and you're a very smart young man and very prepared, and I think that's great for all the stuff you've done. And we do need solutions, like Regent Swart said, to help us, and so thank you. We received a lot of testimony in writing, a lot of it from the Young Conservatives, which I'm a conservative also, and I voted against almost every increase we've had since I've been on the board. The dilemma I have, and I want to make sure that you all are aware and the folks out there listening, are you aware that under mandate from the legislature that we have to have a guaranteed flat fee now for every student for 4 years?
Yes, sir, I am aware of that. However, I would point you that while it is mandatory that we offer that as an option, it's not mandatory that all other options be disabled. And I would say that since my freshman year, I don't believe that we've had tuition increase by the amount proposed by the administration in my entire tenure. And I would point you towards the University of Texas at Dallas when you look at guaranteed tuition plans and how their cost of attendance has grown the fastest out of any other institution in the state of Texas since they've adopted a guaranteed tuition plan. So if I were the one making the decision, I would think it'd be helpful to offer a guaranteed tuition plan for the students that would prefer to do that. But I would say that for Texas A&M in particular, where we have had a Board of Regents and an administration that has been rather behind and rather conservative in regard to fees and tuition increases in the past, that we would be better served by more students not being in a guaranteed plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you. Sir.
Thank you. At this time, Austin Luce, would you come forward, please, sir? Austin is class of 2014, and he is also a senior political science major.
Howdy, my name is Austin Luce, and I'm a senior political science major from Corpus Christi, Texas, but most importantly, I'm the loudest and proudest member of the Phi Tech Zaggy class of 2014. Hey, woo-hoo! All right, we got one back there. You may be wondering, why would a student wake up at 6 a.m. To, travel all the way here when most students can't wake up for an 8 a.m. class. But I wanted to share with you, it was about the same time last year that some of my fellow students were starting class, and I wasn't. I actually took off last spring semester and the last fall semester simply because I needed to work in order to make more money to pay for school. I'm a self-supported college student. I'm a first-generation Aggie, and I'm very conscientious of the costs that are associated with attending college. And so I make decisions, such as, which courses I want to take because I want to make sure that I'm picking courses that have low course fees. And I'm not just here to complain. There have been some benefits to working. Developed some, good work ethic, and I think that I've grown as a person. But it is very challenging as a student to work during the semester, as well as taking off time from school specifically to work. As my previous fellow student just mentioned, there have been other schools that have had a mandatory guaranteed tuition, and the prices have increased. So, and I realize that the legislature requires Texas A&M to offer it as an option, but why does it have to be mandatory? If it's such a good deal, then every student would opt in to it. I've never seen a person, refuse a gift. So if it is such a good thing, then students would want to opt into it. But a student, I believe, should have the choice to opt into it if they choose to. Also along those lines is the course fee consolidation. As I mentioned earlier, when at all possible, I choose courses that have lower fees, and I believe that transparency is important for students to be able to make decisions about the way to best spend their money. I don't remember which person it was. I was sitting in the back, so I wasn't able to see who it was that was speaking. But somebody mentioned that there were over 2,300 responses that were sent to the Board of Regents. I was aware that at least 1,100 of those were specifically speaking about these two propositions and were negatory. That it was people who were voicing their opposition. So, and so I am confident that I'm not alone in this opinion. So my heart is in Aggieland. After two semesters away, I'm glad to be back. And with having conservative fiscal measures in place, then I'm confident they'll be able to stay in the place that I love. So, thank you.
Any questions or comments?
Mr. Luce, how would you, you all are our customers. We're listening to you. We all believe that. Without you, we wouldn't have an enterprise. But how, in your mind, can we do this, have a blend? Some folks want guaranteed rate over 4 years. Some want variable. How do you budget that management and manage it? We don't know how to do that. Because we don't know who's going to opt where.
I would suggest having an optional if students choose to opt in to.
But how do you? Somebody has to count the money though, and that's our job to make sure we have enough money to run the institution. So, we haven't heard from any of the student leaders until today. We haven't heard from the student body president or the faculty senate or student senate. The speaker. And so, we're just trying to figure out how to have enough money in the bank to run the operation. So how would you do that? How do you know how to specifically calculate that number in your mind?
Predictability.
I'm not sure. I'm not a finance major and political science major, so I'm not sure exactly how the money gets counted.
Well, that's our problem. And I'm in the banking business, and I know a little bit about money, but I don't know how to do this. It's either going to be one or the other, and we're trying to figure this out.
Okay. Then I'd suggest keeping it the way it is.
The what?
Obligation to offer a four-year plan. And here's another problem, and I'm the chairman of the Finance Committee, as I've mentioned already, and I've given this a lot of thought. I'm not saying I've given it the correct thought or come to the correct solution, but this isn't new to me, and I have thought about this very issue. But one of the problems, in addition to the problem that Regent Swartner identified, which is a real one, but the other problem is that I am unable to predict both the level of general inflation in terms of our national economy, and I'm also unable to predict levels of academic inflation. So I can't guarantee to you that if we were to have an option, that the option for a single year tuition next year won't be higher than the guarantee rate. And I think that, and with great respect to you and your cohorts that are talking today, the place that I have always come to is that your argument is made on the assumption that the single year tuition rate would necessarily be lower. And that may or may not be true, and that's why I find great difficulties, and that's why respectfully, I've come out the way I have with great deference to your opinion and great respect for your willingness to come and share it with me.
Well put.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Well put. Thank you, Mr. Luce. Thank you. Next, we'll have Mr. Fernando Sosa, class of 15. Welcome, Mr. Sosa.
Howdy. If y'all need help counting money, I'd be happy to volunteer. my name is Fernando Sosa. I'm the Rules and Regulations Chair for the Student Senate, my third year serving in student government. One of my main concerns has always been communication between administration and student leaders. And I know one of the regents brought up that there hasn't been any opinion from student government on this. And the reason for that is that the last time we met to discuss this issue was early last semester, and all we were told was that administration was going to develop a plan to have a guaranteed tuition as an option for students. And we didn't find out until just recently, I believe until the agenda book was published, that it was going to be mandatory for all students. So I wonder, when administration comes up here and says that they have students involved in committees, then where was our financier involved? Because he wasn't. Where was our speaker? Because he has not been informed. He was not involved or informed about this. So I think that communication has to be demanded by the board from our administration so that we can have policies that include student input. Because like it's been said, we are the customers, and I think it's very important for us to consider that. Now, I'm fortunate myself not to have to worry about paying for college because of scholarships and grants, but I do worry and concern myself about my fellow students on campus who have to work to pay for college, whose parents don't make enough to not have to worry about how they're going to pay for college. So it's very important that when the university, the system, considers increasing fees and tuition, that we know that there is no doubt that the money that is currently in revenue is not enough to perform the functions of the university. In addition to that, I think that we need to increase the administrative and fiscal discipline at this point. And if I had anything to petition the board, that would be to postpone any decision making on this guaranteed tuition plan until there's more information, more input from student government and students, so that we, can, as student leaders, can solicit the opinion of the student body and perhaps vote on this in May when usually these kind of fiscal decisions are made. That's all I have. Have any questions from the board?
Just a comment, if I could, please.
Sure.
And the young man back there made the point that he's a first-generation Aggie, first one to go to college. I'm in the same boat, all right? None of my family went to Texas A&M. I was privileged to go simply by ROTC scholarship. I'm extremely sensitive to the fee and tuition issue, as is each one of these board members. You don't know how long we've wrangled over this. I mean, there have been board members here that have spent, hundreds and hundreds of hours thinking about this. Understand the position we're in. Number one, we learned through the audit process a year ago or so that we had 9,600 different fees. It was believed by the wisdom of this board was that we weren't being transparent enough. That is, that parents and the people that have to pay these bills were having 4, 5, 10-page bills of various fees, and we figured out that it was costing us, and we had to estimate, but somewhere near $500,000 just to try to administer those fees. And we spent a lot of time trying to think of what is the smart way to do this, to still fund this university, which we're obligated to do, but also add more transparency, more flexibility, and frankly, some common sense to this process. So that's one issue we're dealing with now, which is trying to consolidate, I think, 7,200 fees into one fee, essentially, or into tuition. Now, why tuition? Because that gives the schools and the colleges more flexibility to use that money where they see fit to educate. And did you get an answer on that question about this 20% set aside? Can you give us that answer?
Yeah. The answer on the 20% set aside is 80% of the money stays with all the universities. 20% goes to the coordinating board, not for set asides, but for a program called Be On Time. But Texas A&M has never gotten back less than 100% of what they have put in because our graduates tend to graduate on time compared to other schools. And so we have never lost a penny, at least in the last 10 years, or well, it hadn't been in that effect that long, last 6 years, that has been in effect. So in essence, that money is Texas A&M. And in fact, in the last few years, we've got a little extra more from that.
Yeah, and so that deals with the first issue, which is this fee consolidation, roll it back into tuition, which, as somebody who grew up with modest means, an extra 20% there for potential students to go to Texas A&M, I think that's a good thing personally, but that's maybe, you know, we differ on that. The second issue is we are between a rock and a hard place. I mean, the legislature has spoken. I mean, the vote that matters has already happened. We've been told this must be done. And so now we're faced with our financial people trying to figure out, hey, can we do this and just make it completely optional? And what we, every time we raise that, and that's every single board member here raised that issue, because we're thinking we have to hedge ourselves. We have to make sure that if we make it guaranteed, there's enough money to run the university. And so it necessarily looks like an increase because, I mean, it is, but that's, we don't have any other option. We can't make it optional because we make it optional, we don't know who will choose guaranteed and who will not, and we frankly cannot run the numbers that way. And as fiduciaries to this system, we can't operate that way. And that's where we are. Am I wrong? Am I right? That's where we are.
Mr. Sosa, we really appreciate you being here. I know we've visited before.
Yes.
Thank you for your comments, and we're very respectful. We'll get, hopefully, we're going to get better on the communication. We heard you. Dr. Hussey's all over that. We'll just blame it on Dr. Lofton since he's gone. Actually, he told us, and y'all told us, communication was great. But I'm not making light of that. Seriously, we hope to
do a better job. Question, and I'll be quiet. Fernando, you've been up here. This is third time now testifying?
Second time. I've been a board of media.
You're a smart young man, and I applaud you for all the hard work you do to represent the students. I know what you're doing. I have two. What Regent Schwartz said is very important. Regent Busby said, we are struggling with this. But what we're trying to do is hedge and protect you for a predictable outcome for 4 years. Quite frankly, think that we've got a better deal here than we'd have if we didn't do this, because, and I've considered this with Provost Watson, is that we may have out-traded her because of the inflation may be higher than what's set in here. And so we're trying to hedge the cost as much as we can to protect you. The second thing I'd like to ask Provost Watson, and she's left for a minute, so I'll ask Interim President Hussey. I would like for next year to have some discussion of possibly figuring out a way to offer more night courses that maybe are at a discount. I know that everybody wants to take courses Monday through Thursday or early Friday, but if the market is there, and I know it is because we have 30,000 students apply every year, maybe there's a way that we could come in with some kind of a discount if you're willing to take a class at 7 o'clock. I don't know that, and I don't know what the market bears, but I'd like to look at it just to see. Thank you.
Sure, and if I may add a comment to that, I'm not, you know, opposed to guaranteed tuition right now. I would have just liked for more time to be given to consider different options and to understand what safeguards we're taking here that maybe the University of Texas in Dallas being the example of a university that already has this kind of policy, what safeguards we're taking to prevent tuition from skyrocketing like it did at the University of Texas. And that's one of the questions I have that I wish would have been discussed earlier in the year.
You're looking at the safeguard.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just have to trust us and look at our past performance. Okay.
Right. Fernando, thank you.
You appreciate got it.
Be safe going back. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Chancellor.
I can point a couple of things.
You bet.
Well, first of all, like y'all, I want to thank these guys for coming. I was doing the same thing 40 years ago. But I want to point out a couple of things. First, when President Lofton brought this upstairs to begin with, I was intrigued by the fee thing. I think people ought to realize how many fees we're talking about. There are 20 fees on each one of these pages, all of which are going to go away, all of which were rising faster than tuition was. And so if you want to protect students, that's the way you do it. And what you guys and what this board told me was, number one, we want those to go away. We want it to be simplified, quite frankly. The Brian Daly Eagle helped us come to that conclusion when they started looking at fees, you know, in the audit committee and things like that. And we kind of determined that they were right. And this is the biggest complaint I get from parents, the emails I get from parents is, what are all the fees that are attached to it? And they're not going to see that anymore. And that's rising a heck of a lot faster than tuition. Second thing I want to address is that I understand their concerns about having it in Galveston, but that's the way the Galveston kids feel when we have it in College Station. That's the way the Kingsville kids feel. We can't be in 13 places at once. They were hearing College Station. They talked about them. The student body president obviously is well versed in it. He supports it. He's been through the whole thing backwards and forwards. And I would like to point out, even with the proposal that you have suggested, by the way, the other thing is that this group so eloquently argued for and you agreed to, is the Kyle Field fee does not result, I think, in the original proposal of Dr. Laughlin. It did result in a bump, but that is out, and that is, they stuck with that original agreement that Morris and y'all made with President Laughlin, and that's out of it. Even with this proposal, you're still second from the bottom in all the public universities in the state of Texas, and that's before they start jacking theirs up. The one that's below you is Texas State, and they're guaranteed four-year tuition. They have an annual rise of 3.85%, which ours is 2.2%. I mean, even our economist that we hired, Ray Perriman, to do an analysis of higher education tuition, came to us and said 3.6% is where you want to be if you want to hold everything harmless. And you cut that back to 2.2%, meaning the university has to find 1.5% of efficiencies with regard to that. So I want these students and all of them to know that this board is your best friend. I mean, they're not very shy about this stuff. And their goal, I think, is going to be realized, and that is, it is cheaper, forget our peers, it's cheaper to go to Texas A&M University. It is the University of Houston or Texas Tech, much less anybody that's in our category and our peer, no denigration meant to anybody. But this is, these folks that represent here are doing everything they can to make sure that this place is run and run very, very efficiently. First thing that I was told, first thing that Karen was told and Bowen was told when we looked at this, and they passed the law about the four-year deal, said, by God, we're not going to do what UT Dallas did. We're not going to game this system in order to get to students sometime in the future. And that's not happening here. If there is a more fiscally conservative tuition rise this year by any of these publics, I will be shocked, because they are all calling me to complain about what you're fixing to do today. And so I congratulate the board on coming up with this, and I thank these young men for coming up here as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Chancellor. Kerry, Austin, Fernando, thank you for being here today. Be safe traveling back to College Station.